I was moved a bit by the pastor talking about the there in 2 Corinthians. So I think we're going to just preach a message out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. Turn there. 2 Corinthians. All right, that was already what my plan was, but I did not know that was the verse. Anyway, so 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm excited about Pie Fellowship. I like pie. I like cake. Y'all know that. Talked about that last time I was here, but I also like pie. I've not really had too many meat pies, I don't suppose. Maybe a pot pie. And so I was gonna tell you this morning, my wife's family came all the way down here from Pennsylvania, about 20 years ago. They came down. But anyway, so they are also from Pennsylvania, so we're not going to say anything about Pennsylvania anymore. We're glad to have them here this morning as well. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 1. Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." Let's pray together as we get started this morning. Father, we are so very thankful that we can be gathered together, Lord, with your people. Lord, I pray that you would come and meet with us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would stir us. Lord, would you speak to hearts, and Lord, in a way that only you can. Lord, I pray that you would give us a message from your word that would affect our lives. Lord, we want to be moved with compassion, Lord, that you have stirred up in us. And Lord, I pray that you would now come and meet with us. Lord, pray that you'd help me. Lord, pray that you'd give us each ears to hear. And Lord, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about the desire of heaven. It's hard not to dream about the wonderful life that awaits those that love the Lord. You ever just daydream about heaven? Okay, maybe you ought to a little bit more. I mean, I guess the closer we get, the more we think about it, right? And so when I was first saved, when I was 20, in my 20s, I wasn't thinking about already getting to heaven. I was thinking about it's a long ways away. And it's still a long ways away, maybe. But we imagine there's this, it's hard not to dream about that, the wonderful life that awaits us, the time when faith will become sight, right? We no longer have to talk about what we believe by faith. We'll see him. Then that hope will be realized and it'll be ours. And then we'll see the Savior face to face. Can you even just imagine what that'll be like, the one we've been given praise and glory and honor to. And we'll be able to look at him. And people always, we talk about, we get to heaven, I want to see this person and that one and that one. I just think the glow of heaven from Jesus Christ himself is going to be so bright. All the rest, we're not going to be interested. We're going to want to get to him and see him face to face. Though I imagine we'll want to peer into his eyes and gaze at his appearance, imagine we'll likewise be compelled to fall on our face in the presence of the Lord. We see that kind of thing. I think about Isaiah coming and just causing, woe is me, I'm undone, and falls before his face and before the Lord. And not only the wonder of that place that we now only get a glimpse of, the Bible references heaven. It's kind of though like we're looking through a keyhole into eternity, because we got stuff to do here, right? So we get to see a little bit that we know there's something up there, but also the fact, not only just getting to go to that place, but really being removed from this life. You ever wake up with pain every morning? You know what I mean? And I just think, wow, You know, you ever like wake up one day, you're like, wow, I don't hurt that. So that's an exciting time. You know what I mean? And imagine there's we're going to get off this old life and all the things that are there. Verse 4, it says this, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. There's a groaning among God's people. Not the groaning of complaint, but maybe the groaning of one of grief and one of longing and one of wanting to see and get out of this old sin-sick world, a desire to be set free from this mortal body, from this flesh that has a propensity to sin. Could you even imagine what it'd be like to not be tempted? Do you know what I mean? We can't. No, we can't. We can't just... But there's a little bit of a thought of like, imagine never having temptation push upon our life and being freed from this burden of sin. And but it's not only what we'll shed of that old man, but what we'll put on, what we'll be clothed in a glorious heavenly body. You know what that's going to look like? Me either. That's what we look forward to. That's what we're thinking about. That's what our future has in store. That's our hope. That's what's going on there. It's a glorious heavenly body. The Bible talks about we're going to be changed, right? In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, you know, and we'll be changed into something. I don't know. We just get this glimpse of what the future looks like. And God has put in this, has put in us this desire for that immortal life. Verse 5, he says this, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. So, you know this, man everywhere and in all times has sought for eternal life. Though many seek it from this world, right? The fountain of youth, right? Try to find this fountain of youth. You watch, you look at these billboards or these commercials or all this. It's a new beauty product. And if you take this, this is going to be the thing. And then it sells out and it's all this. And then they say, there's actually some side effects, by the way. And so we're looking for this thing. You know, we want to look for this thing that'll give longer life. That'll give this throughout history. You can find the stories and the situation, things that come up from snake oil to now. I think we just have new versions of snake oil. It sounds more scientific, but anyway, I don't have much confidence in it. But whatever. But the point is, my point is this morning is this: man's always been looking for something. Some way to have that eternal life. People from all over the planet are looking for something. Even those that have don't really have any kind of a system of God or something, they create their own. I mean, make one out of, whittle it out of wood, or carve it out of stone and put something up, and that's not our God. Matter of fact, you know, the nation of Israel, when they were gone, and Moses was gone for a little bit of time, so let's make some gods. Get all your gold, let's make some gods. You know, I'm thinking, what is wrong with you people? Did y'all just walk through the sea? You know what I mean? Didn't y'all just remember that? Yeah. And they said, yeah, let's make the gods, and that'll be who got us out. And it's something. Man is always looking, been always looking for that thing. But God's going to complete that in us. He's already given us the earnest. Is what it said. Look there in verse 5 again. It says, now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So in a sense, a security deposit. I hate to think of it as that. You know, which brings the idea of, you know, a security deposit. You give somebody money and says, you know, you can trust me, I'm going to buy this thing, right? And buy it. It's kind of a trust to the deal. Rather, I think of the earnest in this sense is of giving us the beginning. We're going to give us a taste, or give us a piece, or give us what we need, a portion of what will be to come. The Spirit of God that Jesus Christ said would come and dwell us is the beginning of the comfort that God has in store for us. Just the beginning. I think of this at times, and it comes to me in just different moments, and I see people and I think, people going through life without the Lord. And I know it's a challenge with the Lord. And I think, what would life be without the Lord? I was thinking about, we were driving around yesterday, and we seen these parachuters. And I had noticed, I said to my wife, I said, one's coming down fast. And then there's a group of them, and we didn't think about anything about it until a little bit later when we found out one fella died. Came down, and I thought, you know, it's a strange thing. We've seen that happening, and a life is changed. It's over. Folks, maybe I don't know the situation. They haven't talked about the names. And I thought, the vacation maybe is over, and the folks there, and they came to have a good time. They're going home without the family member or friend. And I thought, wow, life is so fleeting. Just, you know, we all have troubles. We all have challenges come to our life and decisions that are made, and these things come up before us and we're trying to make a decision. I think sometimes decisions come in my life and I'm a bit challenged. God, what do you want me to do, right? And I think, what if I wasn't seeking God? What if it was just, hey, me, what should I do? I don't know. You know, and that's it. You just fight. God's given us this earnest. The Spirit of God that dwells in us and it takes His Word and brings it to our memory, and he prods us. And man, what a blessing. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit, we kind of take Him for granted. But God said, I've given you something that listen, all ages before us didn't have on a regular, just to indwell us. They come for a Spirit of God. He would come for a time. And then, listen, I'm telling you, what a wonderful thing. You know, He said, I want to give you an earnest of what it's going to be like to be in my presence. So then we look forward to that day. We look forward to that time. Look with me here in verse 6. He says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. My desire is to be with Jesus. Amen? Amen? It's to be with Jesus. I mean, not like in a suicidal kind of way, you know, or a defeatist kind of way. Oh, no, I got to get out of here. That's not the spirit of what the Apostle Paul was saying here. But for the next wonderful part of this journey to begin, just, wow, there's this I want to be out of this flesh, out of the battles that it's battling against my spirit. Verse 9, he says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we find this conversation going, this epistle, this letter to the Corinthian church, and he said, you know, we groan wanting to be with Jesus. Wanting to be, we've received that earnest. But now there's something we're looking forward to that day. There's this coming time, and we're walking by faith. We're going to walk by sight. We're going to see Him face to face. And what a wonderful thing, He says. But therefore, because of that time, we labor. So We do not labor to get to heaven. Okay.
Right.
Let me back it up.
Right.
That's the amen part right there. We do not labor to get to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. I'm leaving. No. We do not labor to get to heaven. We labor because we're going to heaven one day. Probably pretty soon. We're going to stand before him. Right? So sometimes we would give our kids tasks. Hey, while we're gone, y'all do this stuff. Y'all clean the house and do the dishes, whatever. My wife would give this long list. No, but yes, she would. But and you know, each one that have their job, you know, we say everybody has their thing, and you know, we would go and say we're gonna go, and you know, you're thinking, yeah, we come back, it's gonna be done. Yeah, right. So what we learned over time is that they would be like, woohoo, mom and dad's gone. We can do whatever we want. Like, let's sit around and do nothing or whatever. I don't know what they did, you know, cartwheels. And I don't know what was going on. But so what would happen is we get home, and as we're just get started. You know what I mean? And y'all were like that. Y'all did that. I mean, you know. And so what would happen is, you can't do that. List wasn't meant to do from the driveway to the house. Wasn't meant like it was meant to, like, I want to give you a group of time, get these chores done, whatever. So what we'd find is they would wait until, and so this was happening. And at first we were, you know, my kids wouldn't do that, you know, because we'd get in there and one, they'd be at, they had a plan. When you have six of them, they would learn to work together. So they'd be at the door. Hey, you know, how is it? The others are back there, like, ksh, ksh, you know what I mean? And there's a whole thing. And we're like, oh man, they're great. These kids are just fantastic. And then you kind of you realize, y'all. And then some. To be honest, they told us later on, yeah, we, you're like, you people. So what we learned is, my wife learned to say, you know what I'm gonna do? She now is like, we're on our way home. She sends a text. We're on our way home. You know, so they can have a little advance notice. You know what I mean? Don't you like advance notice? We got it right here. Advance notice. We're going to one day. I mean, we want to be there, right? Amen? I mean, I don't know if I really want heaven. You're in the wrong place. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, I mean, yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure I want to see Jesus. We don't understand this whole thing then. You understand? You missed it. I don't think that's our case. I think we want to be there, but sometimes we don't grab the whole reality of it. We're going to stand before him. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making this up. You understand? I'm not just trying to make a thing. That's I'm trying to make a way to say, y'all folks better get to work because daddy's coming. No, it's not that. I'm just saying what Jesus said. He said what the Lord gave us. He preserve this for us to see that we're all going to appear, verse 10, before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone may receive the things done in his body. See, there's something to be received here. There's this time. And so, listen, this isn't a passage on salvation. It's not. It's a passage on service. It's about the purpose, the direction, and the continuation of my life. This ain't it. Talked about that in Sunday school. This ain't it. This isn't the it. This isn't the end of life. This isn't the end of what this is just a vapor, which is really weird. Seems like this thing is so long. And he said, no, once we get past this was, can you kind of imagine being in heaven for some period of time? And you're like, remember when we were back on earth, old earth, you know, remember that? You're like, yeah, we were, weren't we? That was, remember that back there? It's like the whole life is after that. And so we're just kind of, this right now is just for us to get ready for that. I'm going to be with Jesus. So this is my motivation. That look what it says here in verse 11. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It, folks, there's an excitement of going to be with Jesus. But we're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. we're actually not just talking about our buddy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, we love him. He calls us a brother, you know, and there's some things. He doesn't call a servant. There's a relationship to be garnered. But listen, he's still the King of Kings. Still the Lord of Lords. And one day, that's who we're standing before. Right? That's who we're going to be coming before. And the one that causes men to melt in his presence. That's who we're going to go stand before. The one that every knee will bow to. Even those that have despised and rejected him, they're going to bow their knee. I don't know exactly what that's going to all look like, but I think about when he came into the garden, they came in, they all just fell down. You say, well, how did all that work? He's God? I'm just saying, you know, I don't understand everything God does. His power is way beyond my understanding. But he said, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's who we're going to go stand before. It's not going to be like, hey, Jesus, what's up? We ain't going to be that. We're not going to be buddies. This is the King of Kings and the Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our God. Yeah, all the great things, all those things that are, and he's the one that loves us. There's compassion. The Bible is full of his compassion and his desire for us and his love. And it's such a wonderful thing, but that doesn't take away who he is. Doesn't take away who he is. And this is not the humble, lowly Savior, but the Master, the Lord, the God of all creation that we're going to stand before. So therefore, we persuade men. I don't know how your experience, either as a child or as a parent, you'd say, you know, and I don't know if you ever had this, and you know, your dad or somebody, your mom said something like, hey, I just told you to do the one thing. All I told you was to do this one thing, and you didn't do it. I mean, if you had respect for your parents and they said that to you, or maybe it's a boss, or maybe it's, you know, somebody in you know, leadership over you, and you say, I just asked you to do one thing, and you didn't do it. Now, in our flesh, we're quick to kind of make some excuses. Well, it wasn't my fault, right? Somebody else caused me, you know, I got a whole list of good excuses. I would let you borrow, but you have your own list. You understand what I'm saying? And so there's the one that Jesus, if we would say there's one thing that Jesus left us with, be as holy and pure and righteous and sanctimonious as you possibly could. No, it's probably not what we'd think. Yeah, we ought to do all those. I'm not the sanctimonious part, but we ought to be holy and righteous, all this kind of stuff. But there's one thing we'd say, you know what? What would you think is maybe the last thing he kind of left us? Say, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's his plan. And so he says, so we persuade men because of the terror of the Lord. I don't really believe this. This here is talking about the terror of what will happen to the lost without Christ. Listen, I don't think that's what he's talking about here. We see that is something that we see in other places, that there is going to be that accountability at the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment. There's going to be some things happening, but this I don't think that's the terror he's talking about. That the lost, if we don't get to them, they're going to go and plunge into hell. I don't think that's what this is talking about. Other places, we'll see that. But here, it's not that. It's the terror of the Lord realizing I'm going to stand before him. It's going to be a reconciliation of the things we've done in this body. As a child, a soldier, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's happening. This is happening, folks. You understand? Not because I just said it now. Right? Pastor Hewitt said it, so it's happening. We know now that's happening. No, it's always been. It's been in here, right? I didn't make. You understand what I'm saying? I want you. I'm saying this isn't something that preachers make up to get folks to do stuff. We come up with worse things, right? You know. And by the way, some have. That's what we call false religion. Some this kind of. We're talking about what the Lord gave us to give us something to see that we're going to stand there and there's going to be this thing happening. There's going to be that day of reconciliation and of a judgment, or we'd say really it's a reward Okay, let's don't misunderstand that. It's not a judgment of whether you're going to get in or not. It's going to be this time of reward, and it's coming. It is coming. Therefore, we're to follow the marching orders, right? The instruction, and the command of the master. So we persuade men. Look here, there's a ministry of love. Look here at verse 11. It said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Can I say this to you, folks? This is not about self-glorification. Look what I did. Listen, we're not going to stand up there to the Lord and we get up there. And I know all these other people are bowing, but listen. I bet you got some pretty good situation for me, don't you? Right? No, none of us are going to stand up there proud of what we did. Do you understand? We're all going to wish we'd have done more. Even when we've done more, we're going to wish we'd done more. I don't know if there's, because that's it. You understand? Listen, there were evidently at that time men that were more interested in looking the part than being what God desired. I'm glad it's not like that now. You know what I mean? Aren't you glad people aren't just trying to look the part? Okay, that's facetious, right? That's a joke. We're still in that because we're still of that. We're cut of the same flesh. Yep, yep. We still have this. There's this in us. There's in us this desire to look like what would please God instead of being what would please God. This work of Christ isn't in appearance, though. I don't want to say he doesn't care about what we look like. I think he does. I think God does care what we look like, but maybe not in the way that we think so. Maybe not in the way that it seems to us. What God is interested, I mentioned already this morning, but God is interested in our heart and our spirit, what kind of spirit we have. He's interested in what's going on. And when that comes out, that looks wonderful. When a right heart comes out in action, wow, that's a beautiful thing. When we try to look the part, because we think that's what God is looking for, it's actually not very pretty. It actually becomes a lot of this, right? You see this guy, right? Now, we don't say that, and maybe sometimes it's even a little bit subconscious, but we can get pretty proud of ourselves because we look the right part. And I'm telling you, it's very deceptive. It's almost as if we deceive our own selves, right? We convince ourselves, and then we begin to convince others with that. So the work of Christ isn't in appearance, but in heart. So, in other words, we don't do it to please man, not even this man, but because of our love for God. Look here now at verse 14. He goes on, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, not because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So our service to others in reconciling man to God, it's because of what God has done for us. Okay, I know that's a pretty simple thought, but it's really this, it's the love of Christ, what he has finished for us, that constrains us to serve him. So that word constrain, that constraineth here, it means to hold us or to keep us in place is the idea. That idea is kind of imprisons us, if we would say here, to hold us in a place. And he says this, it's the love of Christ that keeps us there. So sinners are terrible people. They are. They have not received the Savior. They're living in their sin. They're without the knowledge of righteousness. They are just horrible. You understand what I'm saying? Sinners are horrible. Our ministry to them does not come as a result of their goodness. Nor of their worthiness. You ever found a sinner that deserved to receive the gospel? I sometimes think about my own life. I'm thinking, how on earth I can imagine. I was the guy that walked in the church and the preacher's like, well, he ain't no sense bothering that guy. You know what I mean? And maybe probably there's been folks come in, I thought the same thing. Our ministry to them doesn't come as a result of their goodness. They're unrighteous. Look. But we're all going to stand before that judgment seat. Listen. We'll not do the work of reaching the world with the gospel because of them. Never will the people constrain us to be out there. Listen, I've seen folks that get excited about taking the gospel to people. We'll go out there and we're with them. And you try. And when I say people, like the guy in the mirror, you know what I mean? And you go and you share the gospel with them and they reject you. They reject it. They reject you. And you're like, all right, fine. I tried. You know what I mean? I tried. I'm gonna scratch them off. I did my duty with them. Now they know, right? So I'm out of that. Because listen, they will not, because they're miserable. And they don't like me. Right? So I'm not constrained because of them. I'm not going to stay with them. Listen, that's not going to be, we're never going to do it because of them. But it's the love of Christ. Yep. Yep. It gives us purpose. It constrains us. Maybe here's a familiar passage. Look at verse 16 there. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It's like this message was meant for today, isn't it? So here's the conclusion. Don't get too excited. This means we're... Sometimes Paul would say, finally, and then be like another chapter or so, you know. So don't, anyway. So, but the conclusion of what we're seeing in this passage is this, in this portion, is this world is worthless. They're putrid, they're vile, and they're hopeless. Just like we once were.
Yep. That's right.
We did not pull our own selves up by our bootstraps out of the muck and miry clay. He didn't do it. There was someone in your life along the way that was living under the constraints of the love of Christ that was held there because of him that got the gospel to you. Maybe it's a family member, right? Maybe it's a family member that put up with your orneriness, right? Maybe it was somebody else along the way and didn't really, you said, well, of course they love me, their family. There's somebody else that was probably ready to just mark you off like I've done my duty with them. I've done what I should do. No. Listen, I'm telling you, someone along the way in your life, if you're saved here this morning, someone along the way in your life was constrained by the love of Christ, not the love of you. Now, that kind of hurts a little bit, doesn't it? Well, I thought they loved me. Well, probably they do. But my love for someone, because I'm still wrapped in this flesh, you know what I'm saying? And so people are mean to me. I want to be right with, I want to do my best, but sometimes we kind of say, all right, fine, buddy. You know what I mean? But when we love him, we'll continue in that place. They didn't love you because you were lovely. They loved him because he's lovely. The Lord gave his, he gave his life that I might be set free. But he also gave me a hope of eternal life. A life that's full of glory. I mean, listen, one that's after this thing. I'm telling you, I'm just saying, there's no greater life that we can live on earth than one that's in Christ. I mean, listen, I would rather be, I'm saying this, I would rather have the greatest challenges going on in my life but walking with the Lord than everything being sweet, worldly speaking, and be without Christ. I'll tell you, there's never been a day in my life that I've regretted being saved. Man, I wish I would just continue with my career. I could have been making money. Wouldn't that be great? Because money lasts forever. There's never been a day in my life I've regretted following the Lord with my life. Never been a day I've said, I wish this was done. No, never. Never. I tell you, when you walk with the Lord and you're living with, it's exciting whether we, but it's, listen, it's not only just this life full of glory, of excitement, of freedom from this flesh, but there's something in the future that we're going to, this whole thing is going to be, we're going to be, this going to be unclothed from this old flesh, from temptation and sin. And that day is coming quickly upon us. But in that time, when that wonderful day comes, it's also going to be the same day that I stand before him, stand before Christ. I'm going to be given an account. I'm going to be judged based on how I've lived this life for him. Not to receive salvation, but to receive the rest of eternity. You know, there will be no opportunity to repeat. There's no do-overs. You know, some of these movies will show these, you know, these different people going to heaven, like, oh, you really blew it. Let you go back and try it again. You know, right? No, it ain't like that. That's Hollywood. That makes maybe good TV, but it's not Bible. You understand? When we get there, we stand in front of Jesus. That's it. The day is it. That's the terror that he talks about here. The terror which compels me to live for him now. Not a terror of a fear, afraid of what he's going to do and he's going to send me. No. There's the terror that I'm going to stand before him and I'm going to go into all eternity just with what I bring. That's it. Just what I brought with me. There's no going back for resupplying. This is it. Somehow that love of Christ begins to bleed into my soul. So now what begins to happen is we can love the unlovely. You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, somehow when we deal with those folks that are without Christ and that are putrid, evil, worthless, horrible sinners, I'm reminded that I was in the same place once that they are now. The ministry of reconciling God to man has been given to me. The pastor just mentioned a minute ago. Well, it's been a few minutes. He mentioned that reconciliation is given to all of us. And that's what he says there. Verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What a representation for Christ were to be. What a wonderful thing. He says in verse 20, he says, now then ye are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's stead, be reconciled to God. What a wonderful thing. Do you see the ministry God has given you? You got this, you should have like a special license plate. Right? You could park anywhere. Hey, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I can park in the loading zone. You know, wouldn't that be great? But really, it's this thing. God has given you the greatest ministry that man could possibly have. We're to be his ambassador. So here's a question for us this morning. We're done. Are you doing it? Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Are you being the ambassador, or are we just wearing the badge? Father, I do pray that you would help us this morning. Lord, help us to see this ministry that you've given us. Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful opportunity we have to think about the coming hope of eternity, heaven, a new body, this old man peeled away. What an exciting thing to just even imagine what you have prepared for us. And yet, Lord, we realize as that day comes, we are going to stand before the Savior. Really, we're going to be judged. We're going to be rewarded on really just what we've done since we've been a believer. Lord, that day is really as a terror. Even though we groan to be there, we realize there's going to be that day that you look at our life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us today to be motivated, to be exhorted, to be encouraged by that wonderful day. Lord, that that love of Christ would constrain us, would keep us in that place. That we would persuade men to know you. Lord, pray that you would do a work in our hearts this morning, and we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Listen as